called Encounter. Meaning that the basis of it for me anyway is that, and I've learned in my life, that God wants us to deal with him on the basis of reality. So meaning that God doesn't just want a blind faith. He doesn't just want some kind of thing where we're praying to a distant God or we're just believing in someone that's far away. But God wants to know us intimately and wants to be known by us intimately. And I believe through this series and through this time, we don't just preach random series in church. We believe that this is where God is leading us and where God is directing us. And so I'd love you to expect that you're going to encounter God. Expect that God is going to deposit something in your life that you know you've encountered God. And those encounters always bring a change, yeah? But this morning it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Blake Edgman. Blake will probably tell us a little bit about who he is and what he's doing, yeah, so I won't take up all that time to do so. But Blake's been here over the last couple of years and he's become a good friend and spoken into my life and has been a great encourager, and I'm really looking forward to what he has to bring. So let's give him a big round of applause and a big welcome as he comes up to bring the word. You go, man. Be blessed.
Thanks very much. How you doing? A few of you are all right. How about you in the back? You all right? Good? All right, good. Let me just open my stuff here. So yeah, Encounter. I was excited to hear what you guys have been talking about. I actually went back and listened to a few of the past messages over the past month, and it's really exciting. You know, encounters are powerful. We think of these epic moments when we hear encounter. It's like, you know, the moment where everything turns around, you know, 180, life changed, going this way, now we're going this way, that kind of thing, which can definitely be the case. There's also, you know, smaller versions of encounter. When we encounter God, it can happen in a lot of different ways. It can be the epic moment. It can also be just the tiniest thing that we may never notice. We may not even realize that we've encountered God, and it's just slightly turned us in a direction that's going to have an effect later on in life, you know? So encounters are important. They're powerful. They're part of our walk with God. And so what I want to talk about today is, what do you do after the encounter? How do you make the encounter count, you know, long term? Counting the encounter. I'm not a wordsmith, so we're just going to go with it. So before we talk about that, though, I've got some visual. I'm a visual person, so if nothing else, I just made that for me. Hey, there's a monitor here. I don't have to turn around. Okay, it won't move. I'll just turn around. So I have to do this to turn it. So we're going to be Pentecostal. So every time I do this, you can just pretend I'm saying, amen. So that's Katie and I. So we've been here for over three years in Dublin. So that's the picture of us in the airport about to go through. That was before we had our son and all that. And I like to show this particular picture, the screenshot, because there's a girl, Sophie, who commented and she hashtagged clueless, which is completely true. We had no clue what was happening to us. We were just kind of going. We were just kind of doing stuff. So that was a fun one. And then we had our little boy, Eden. So he's out back, you know, taking a break, I don't know, doing something. So probably tearing something apart, that's his favorite thing. So he's awesome, crazy. He's born here, born at the Rotunda there in the city. And now he's, okay, you might have to help me, I don't know. Oh, there it is. Whoa, too far. Maybe this is hurting more than helping. I don't know. So that's Eden. So he's crazy. He's fun. Wild man. When he puts his sunglasses on, he's a cool cat. That's what he says. So anyway, so that's us. We're really, really happy to be here. We love Ireland. It's been a tough transition. You know, anytime you leave home, go to a brand new culture, brand new place, you don't really know anybody. It's tough, but we wouldn't trade it for a minute. Like, it's definitely, it's where God's called us. And it's where we are. And how we got here was just all these series of encounters in our own life that put us here where we are now. So I thought it'd be kind of fun to show you my timeline. So I was saved sometime when I was really little. I was raised in church. So I probably got saved about 50 times in kids' church. I don't know. You know, they always do that. And so I started to understand it, though, as I got older and really understood what it meant. And then around secondary school, early during secondary school, I felt a call to worship ministry. So I guess now's a good time to tell you, Katie and I are here doing ministry to university students. So we want to reach out onto the campuses of Dublin and Ireland to see students reached. We believe it's very strategic. You know, these are the future doctors, lawyers, teachers, politicians. They're going to run the world tomorrow. They're going to run this nation tomorrow. So it's a great time, and they're open. They're open to anything, which is a little scary sometimes, but they're open to anything. So it's a great time to go in, start talking to them and connect with them. And many have never heard about Jesus. So that's what we love to do. That's what we came here to do. But we've found a home in St. Mark's Church pretty quickly. And so I help with the worship there. So worship's always been a part of my life from that point in my timeline there, secondary school. I just felt God saying, you know, you're going to do worship. Which at the time, does anybody know what a trombone is? You ever heard that? Trombone? It's the slidey thing. You know? So I played trombone. Fun fact, I actually have a degree in trombone in music. Yeah. Don't ask me why I did that, but I did it. So here I am. But while I played trombone in church as a kid, I felt called to worship, and I thought, okay, God, that's going to be a little awkward. Because you imagine this, you know, singing, you know, like, how do you follow that? You can't lead worship with that. So so God took me, you know, on a progression, and I ended up sort of figuring out how to sing. I just holler in tune. That's kind of what I do. I scream with the music. But so I got called to worship, and then I'm going to skip the blue star. I'll come back to it. So then I went to college. I felt like God wanted me to go to this specific college for a reason, which then in turn led me to, sorry, that the XA stands, it's the abbreviation of the ministry that I was a part of in the States at a college, and that's what got me into college ministry like I am now. It's called Chi Alpha. And so that was a great moment in my life as a student to be a part of it, but then to work with them after I graduated and give my life back into that ministry was a beautiful thing. And that was a big decision, big marker in my life. And then, fast forward, there was a guy in Ireland. I was leading worship at this event, and he showed up, and he came in and he said, hey, you know, your band is, you guys aren't too bad. Why don't you come and play at Urban Soul? Did anybody ever hear about Urban Soul? It was the outreach that used to happen. Yeah, Jay, you were there, I think. But in 2009, Katie and I, we were married for 3 weeks. We came on a missions team and did worship and worked in the communities with the Urban Soul teams. And so that was a big deal because that week was the week that we had a conversation about Ireland. And I just started asking questions. I had no intention of ending up here, but we did end up here. And so I was just like, what's going on for college ministry? And we really felt God asking us to come here just to do that. And so that was a big point in our life that led to Ireland, right? And so we going back to that blue star, what that moment was this very particular encounter that I remember. I was in church, no clue who was speaking or what they said or what songs we did. I don't remember anything about it. But all I remember is sitting there in the middle of it and having this overwhelming feeling that God wanted me, like I was willing to do anything God called me to do. I just knew in that moment, I have to do whatever it is that God wants because that's the best way to spend my life. That's the best way to give myself to God is completely and wholly to Him. And so that was a big moment. Now, some people would say that was my call into ministry, full-time ministry. Some people would say, you know, we're missionaries, technically speaking, from the Assemblies of God in the U.S., working with AG Ireland here. So, you know, you could call us that my maybe call to missions or whatever. I don't like to put any of those labels on it. It was my call to be obedient to God. It was my realization that I needed to be obedient. And so that was a big mile marker for me. And so I look at all these encounters, and I could tell you dozens of encounters in between all these markers, but these were the big ones. And that blue star was in a time like in the 90s. We're here with some friends, Chuck and Sally Havoc. They're from Minnesota, and they do Chi Alpha. They do college ministry. They spent their life the career doing college ministry in Minnesota. Amazing couple with us. And we've been talking about this. They're in the 90s, with these amazing revivals, these great moments, these great encounters with God, supernatural, healing, lives changed. It was awesome. It was crazy. And my youth group had one of these kind of revivals. People were being healed. People were being saved. And I had this encounter during that time and a lot of other encounters. And just an amazing time. But I look back at it as I was preparing for this. I thought to myself, you know, I remember guys that sat on my right and on my left and in front of me and behind me. I remember those people that saw everything that I saw. They even had, a lot of them had much more powerful moments than I saw, than I had. Much more seemingly life-changing moments than I had. But today, they've turned away from God and they're kind of doing other stuff. And so I'm asking myself, why? How does this happen? How do I have an encounter with God? And then it lead to nothing. And so as I was thinking about this, about today, and Rob told me that you're talking about encounter, that these things just started popping into my head, and I thought, I felt like God saying, let's think about how do we make these encounters last? And it's great to have that moment, but what about after that? And so that's kind of where I'm going to go. And when I think about those people, the two There's some words that come to my mind that of why that didn't really last for them. And probably the most all-encompassing word would be follow through. Or is that two words? I don't know. I'm a musician. I don't have to care about that. But follow through. Discipleship is another word. You know, a personal relationship with Jesus. We can have this epic moment, but if we don't know the person of God, then the hand of God will eventually mean nothing to us. The hand of God is great and it's important, but we need to seek the heart of God, the person of God, who he is. And so this just all came flooding back. And so for years after that moment, and as those revivals and moves of God died down, for years I sought these moments. I chased after these epic encounters. And you know, I don't think God really designed us to go from one epic moment to another epic moment to another epic moment. I think our life will be full of these encounters as long as we're chasing him and his heart. And that's not an event to an event to an event. That's a daily decision, right? It's a daily decision to chase after him. And so as I look back on my encounters and how God called us to leave our home and leave our family and come here, those encounters themselves are not what got us here. Those encounters were actually, symptom isn't the best word. They were byproducts of an obedient life. Not that we were perfect at all. Far from it. But as the more I chased God, the more I found that I would have encounters. And the more I was obedient to God, day by day by day, the more I realized, the more I was aware of these encounters that I was having, you know? And that's how we ended up here. And it was what happened after the encounter that really changed my life. So let's take a detour for a second. I might have skipped some things. I don't know. Okay, no, this is perfect. So we're going to take a detour for a second. Like I said, I do worship. I like to teach worship stuff. I'm really into that. So encountering God, really, you can't really separate that from worshiping God. You know, I believe worshiping God is encountering God. And in the Old Testament, we see people worshiping God through the temple and through the law and rules. And it was basically the symbol that we will never be good enough. It symbolized worship in heaven, the pure, true worship. And in the New Testament, we see Jesus making a way to know him personally. And so in the New Testament, everything shifted, which is what we're about to read a little segment of. Everything shifted. And Jesus made a way to connect with him personally. So let's read this real fast. Acts 2:42 through 47. So they devoted themselves to the apostles. So this is after Pentecost. Jesus has gone to heaven. And he's left his followers to start the church. So this is the church beginning. Pentecost has happened. The first mass groups of people have been getting saved. And so this is kind of a glimpse into what their life was like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Hallelujah. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Oh, thank you. God bless you. That's awesome. All right. I didn't even realize I needed water till you brought it for me. There's a message in there somewhere. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So this is the glimpse that we see of what church looked like for them. This is probably one of the freshest views of church because it's right when it started. It's amazing, amazing. These guys, what they were really trying to do is kind of I would imagine it's a difficult task, because for the first time in history, they were trying to figure out what it was like to worship God through a relationship and not through rules. Everything they knew was about the rules, not about the relationship. And so what we see here is a personal relationship with God, with all these believers coming together as other believers, bringing all their godly relationships into one moment and worshiping with each other on a daily basis. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so these guys, come on. You want to help me? Just thanks. So they worship with relationship, not rules. You know, we're not seeking an untouchable God. We're not seeking some distant figure that will never really care or come down. We are seeking the God that knows every hair on your head, knows you by name, knew you in your mother's womb, the Bible says it. This is a personal God. The creator of the universe knows each and every one of us and wants to know us and wants us to know him. And so when we worship, this is how I define worship when I'm teaching about it. Worship is the response of our spirit to the spirit of God. It's that moment when our spirit connects with his spirit and there's that encounter and it drives us to a response. That's worship. So just to help us think through this before we go back into the encounter thing. So the talk that I always do on worship, I call it worship and coffee, which can be misleading because people hear about it if it's like at a conference or something, and they think they're going to get free coffee, and I always feel bad. But they get them in the room, right? So I'll keep calling it that, worship and coffee. But this is the analogy I like to use. Worship is the coffee, okay? The mug are the things we do to worship. When we sing songs, you know, the song in itself, you can come to church for years and sing these songs and never have worshiped God. Because unless our spirit is connecting with his spirit, it's not worship. You know, we can bring our coffee mug, but if we never fill it up with coffee, we're just carrying around an empty mug looking like a fool. It's weird. Why would you do that? And vice versa, I can try to worship God but never do anything with it, and that's like pouring coffee straight into my mouth or something, or just trying to carry it in my... How can you drink coffee without a mug? Sorry, tea. Sorry, I'm obsessed with coffee, so that's my own personal crutch. But how can you drink tea? How could you drink without a cup, right? We must have the forms of worship. We got to have these actions in order to carry out our worship to God. So worship is like the coffee, and the things we do are like the mug, right? So how do we know when we've worshiped? How do we know? And there's an amazing book by a guy named Richard Foster. It's called Celebration of Discipline. It's so good. Just for really graspable, like you can really practice how to be a Christian with some of the things in this book. He really helps explain prayer and worship and what that looks like inward and outward and with the body of believers. But he makes a statement. He says, if worship does not propel us... Oh, wait. Oh, you got it for me. You're on the ball. Yeah. If worship does not propel us into greater obedience, it has not been worship. And I think that's how we know when we've been worshiping. If it doesn't propel us into greater obedience, it hasn't been worship. Galatians 5:22, the next thing up there. We see the fruit of the Spirit working through us. We begin to see these things in our life. Then we know these encounters we're having are starting to take hold. Yeah? Does that make sense? Everybody okay with that? Nobody ready to throw anything in? When we encountered God, sometimes encounters are instant changes. Like, I'm sure there's testimonies in this room. My grandfather had an instantaneous change when he got saved. And it was just like night and day, just completely switched. But that wasn't the end, right? That wasn't the end of things for him. That was just the beginning of a longer journey with God. And there were other moments. But most of the time, I think more stories, you don't hear about them because it's not as exciting. But I think most of the time, God likes to work little bits at a time. Even if you really think about it, even those epic encounters that we might have had, if we start to zoom out and look back, we can probably see a whole path of little encounters that led to that moment. Little things that got us into that space to encounter God in that powerful way, you know? And so, going back to the encounter thing, so how do we make sure that we've got the ability to follow through with this? If we're going to put ourselves in a position to encounter him, how do we know what to do with it? And, you know, I want to just look at Paul. This is a great example, one of many. But, he's on the road to Damascus. His name is Saul at the time, and he's going to persecute Christians. He's going to go arrest Christians. And he's on the road, and Jesus appears, this light, and it blinds Saul, changes his name to Paul. He hears Jesus' voice. His life is different, right? His life is different. See, that was the spark. That was the spark. But what God started right there in that spark, he cultivated that fire over time in Paul. Paul didn't have that moment and immediately say, I see Jesus, I'm blind. Okay, I'm going to go change the world and write half the New Testament. Like, he didn't go there. He didn't make that jump. The first thing he did was he went and found other believers. That was the first thing he did. He continued to Damascus, and even though they were frightened of him, they let him in, and they realized he was changed, and he connected with other believers. And kind of the next thing you see is nothing. He disappears. Well, I forgot how many. It was like 2 years or something, or a long period of time. Paul is off the map. And you know, I think scholars generally agree that he went to the desert. He went to the alone time with God. He had moments with God on his own. He had to develop his personal relationship with God and understand what it was to follow God. And then, after that, he still didn't immediately go change the world. He went city by city, church by church, person by person, and just was obedient to whatever God asked him to do. And as he's walking this path, he's at Damascus, life completely turned around, finds believers, goes alone with God for a long period of time, comes back in, begins his ministry, begins his missionary journeys, person by person, church by church, right? And suddenly he can look back and see, oh my gosh, things are changing. Now maybe God gave him vision to know that that would happen, but it wasn't going to happen like that. It was going to happen with every little step along the way. And he can look back and see this path, right? And so those three things are the things that I want to share with you. And just kind of, let's think about that just for a second. Oh, yeah. I'll explain this real fast. So this is a diagram that I put up that should have been a couple slides ago. I put it in the wrong spot. But when we worship God, when we put ourselves in a position to encounter him, it drives us to greater obedience. But here's the cool thing. When we are obedient to God, it puts us in a position to encounter him more. And when we encounter him more, we become more obedient. When we're more obedient, we encounter him more. Do you see how this works? So it's like this revolving cycle. So this is kind of the cycle that we need to enter into. Hit the next one. There you go. So the three things that we see here with Paul. So the first one's personal worship. We see him connecting with God. We've got to seek God on a daily basis. We've got to seek God, even an hourly basis, as much as humanly possible. We've got to seek the Holy Spirit to connect with us in our life. Even when we don't feel like it, it doesn't seem epic to think, you know, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to commit to spending time with God every day. It doesn't seem that crazy, right? It doesn't seem like, oh, that's going to change my life forever. No, it may not in that one specific moment. When you start adding up those moments, you're going to see a trajectory change in your life. And you're going to see something begin to form I've seen that in myself. I begin to see my life change, my attitude changes, my heart changes. Suddenly, I'm not making as selfish of decisions. I'm starting to make decisions more on the behalf of God for his glory. And I start to see this path move. And this is the principle here, is that our private worship of God, those moments alone with God, our private worship fuels our public worship. I think that's the next. No, I don't know if I have that up there. But our private worship fuels our public worship. So whatever we are as a body, it's the sum of whatever we are as individuals. Yeah? So if we're weak individuals and we come together, we'll be stronger than we would on our own, but we're still going to be a weak group. But if we're strong individuals coming in on behalf of each other and on behalf of God, I love this, our dependence on one another and more so on Jesus Christ. When we come in and we depend on one another and we commit to one another out of a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, that's a group of people that will not be stopped. It cannot be stopped. So then we enter into community. So we saw Paul go into a personal, you know, the desert time. He chased down those believers. He knew he had to connect with other believers. You know, and one of the messages Noel spoke at a few weeks ago, I don't know which location he talked about it in, but it's online. But he just said that, you know, we need each other because this is where we find our healing. This is where we find our growth. And that book that I was telling you about, Foster, I think this is up here maybe somewhere. It doesn't matter. He says one log by itself cannot burn for very long. But when you put many logs together, even if they're poor, they can make quite a fire. Right? So we've got to come together. And then he says, when we've truly gathered into worship, things occur that could never occur on our own. The encounters with God that we find in community with each other are infinitely more important, more impactful than if I'm by myself on my own. And I'm not just talking about personal. I'm talking about when we encounter God in the community, the wave that it has on the people around us. When we do this as a group, it's way more impactful than if I try to go on my own and impact the world. God's called us to be in community. God, you know, did you know God himself models community? The Trinity, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son. It's a Trinity. He himself models the need for community. And so as, you know, marriage is a symbol of that. And our community, when we gather together, we are saying we're trying to be like God. We're trying to be like him. We want to be more like you, God. We're going to gather together. Yeah? And then the third thing is, like I said, simple daily obedience, personal relationship with God. You know, we didn't wake up one day years ago and say, you know what, we're moving to Ireland. That's it. Boom. Like, you know, you look at the timeline, God, I never would have guessed I would have been a worship leader, much less ended up in Ireland. In fact, the university ministry stuff was never even on my radar. It was literally me saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And that was the weird thing that stood out. I graduated college, and I remember thinking, okay, God, I could go help with music at this church. I could go help with media or music at that church, or I could do this. with music. But then college ministry, like, that's weird. But then I started to look at it, and I thought, those areas are probably where I'm weakest. That's probably where God will strengthen me the most. And so I made a decision to do that, the weird thing. And that put me on a path. And then I decided to do, you know, like every little step like that of denying myself for the sake of his glory, that's how we ended up in Ireland. So if you want to end up in another country or something, don't follow God like that. Like, just do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel good. But if you want to end up who knows where, you could end up the same place you are now. You know, that's what most people find. But either way, I don't really care if we ended up here or wherever. I like to mess with people who are really into missions and all that. I'm like, God never called me to missions. God never called me a missionary. He called me to be obedient. That's it. That's as far as I want to go with it, because there's no difference between us and you and Rob, Noel, Patrice, and like all this. We're all just trying to follow God, right? And so we just have to go after him with everything we had. It's a progression of obedient decisions, and God has to guide each of us. He has to lead each of us because he has to prepare each of us for that next step. Coming out of secondary school, I would not have been prepared to know that I was coming to Ireland. Not even close. It would have freaked me out. I would have tried to jump the gun and done it all wrong. But he stacked me in these series of events to prepare me. And when we truly encounter God, there's potential for life change, always. But we will decide the impact of that encounter. So again, encounters are important, but they're not the goal. Seeking encounter after encounter and never having a daily relationship with God, that's just selfish and shallow. That's saying, God, make me feel good, give me all the fun stuff, but I'm not really going to make you the Lord of my life. You're not going to be in charge, but I want you to give me all the good stuff, right? But then the other way, saying, okay, I reject anything emotional, I reject anything supernatural, and I'm just going to take day by day, I'm going to memorize the entire Bible backwards and forwards, and I'm going to pass out 10,000 tracts every day and check. Like, that's just going back to the Old Testament, which they proved it can't work, right? We can't simply worship God through rules and laws. That's just legalistic. That's religious. That's like the Pharisees. So we've got to lean back on these three things: personal relationship with God, developing ourselves in a community of other believers, and then being obedient to doing whatever it is that he's asked us to do in our life. Those three things will ensure that this encounter takes hold. So I just want to make this statement. The value, that's a good quote. The value of an encounter with God is determined by what we do after. Because I can look back at some of those friends that sat next to me in those moments where God was, I mean, guys, it was powerful, like really powerful. And I look at them and what God did in their life and where they're at now, and I just think, what a waste. Like, what a waste. Somebody could have sat in that seat who was going to do something with that. But they were taking up space, and it's just like, I hate that. Not just for the people that they could have influenced, that's huge, but for them themselves, like, they're not happy. They're not happy, and they couldn't figure out what to do with that. And that moment wasn't near as valuable. It may have been more epic in the moment, but I'm telling you, my little quiet voice that spoke to me in that moment, it wasn't that epic. I didn't get healed from diseases or massive addictions, that, you know, but that quiet moment put me on a trajectory that for Katie and Katie has her own stories like these too, but that meant the world. It meant our world was completely affected by that. And so anybody that God uses us to connect with was affected by that little quiet voice that spoke inside of me at that little bitty, this little moment. Yeah? So has anybody seen the movie Deep Impact? Do you remember that? There were like the two asteroid movies. It was the weirdest thing to me. The Armageddon and Deep Impact. Do you remember when those came out? Don't want to close my eyes. So I have a picture of the Deep Impact thing. I don't have the remote. It's computer's praying. There it is. So this asteroid was hurling towards Earth, and I won't spoil the movies, but they all die. No, I'm kidding. They Armageddon, they like tried to split the asteroid into Deep Impact. I don't remember they even tried anything, but whatever it was failed, and it hit, and they were just going to deal with the aftermath. And so I was, for some reason, this popped into my head. You know, people didn't fear, you know, the asteroid hit in the middle of the ocean. Shows it in the movie. Sorry, spoiler alert. Just, you're not going to want to watch it anyway. But the asteroid hit in the middle of the ocean. People didn't fear the asteroid landing in the ocean. What they feared was everything that was going to happen after that. And I want to tell you something. This is huge. I believe this is something that God wants to say to you. The enemy does not fear your encounter with God. The enemy fears what you will do with that encounter. The impact from our life, from an encounter with God, that is what will make the difference in this world. The enemy doesn't fear the encounter. He fears what you will do with that encounter and how you will allow that to influence and affect your life. Because it's like a pebble into a pond or an asteroid into the ocean. The ripple effect seems like unlimited influence in that space. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And when God has when you have an encounter with God and he speaks to you, it's more than just for that one moment. And it's more than just for you. It's for everybody that he has planned to cross your path. See, this is something that I think is really huge for us, especially in the Western church, is to remember that we get real consumeristic because that's what our culture is. There's consumers and we're all consumers. That's okay in society, but in church it's not. That's not okay. That's not what we were designed to do. We were designed to be changed. Paul says the old creation is gone, the new has come, we're a new person, and now instead of doing what we did do, now we're fighting for God. Now we are ambassadors of Christ. When God gives you an encounter with him, if you're lucky enough to have that special moment where you connect with God in a powerful way, we've got to remember that it's for his glory. Now we reap the benefits. We do get great things out of it. But in the end, it's for his glory, and it's for us to turn around and influence the world with what God has given us in that moment. And the only way we're going to do that is through a personal relationship with him in the community of other believers and simple daily obedience to him. Yeah? So let me just close with this. If you guys want to play a song or, we can stand. Let's stand together. I'm not going to have anybody come forward. I just want to make this a moment of reflection to think. Because what we can do something now, but again, you can have the encounter here, but it's what you do when you walk out. So you can have the encounter in your chair as much as you can have here up in the front. But I want you to honestly ask yourself these questions. Have you had encounters with God that seemed epic in the moment, but eventually seemed like it led to nothing? Have you had that? Have you had an encounter that maybe you need to share with some of your brothers and sisters in Christ? You need to bring it to the body of believers, because as a body, we can help each other see, hey, you know what? That really connects with this other thing that's in your life, and we sharpen each other. Do you have an encounter that maybe you need to bring to a friend, to a brother or sister in the Lord, to encourage you? And then this question, have you been obedient to God before and after encounters? Are we prepared now with a life of obedience to receive an encounter that will ripple into our culture and into our society? Are we prepared now for that? And are we prepared to follow through with it? You know, we need to prepare ourselves, because it's like tilling up the soil when we plant seeds. If we try to throw seeds on soil that's been laying there dead, untouched, it's probably not going to grow. If it does grow, it won't be very healthy. But when we begin to begin to stir that soil up, it gives God really good ground to plant in. And when you have an encounter and you're prepared for it, man, what can grow is unstoppable. So let's just think about this as they play and sing. It's going to take a couple minutes. Let me pray for you, and then we'll do that. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for Liberty, and specifically for Liberty Bray and what is going on in this community, God. You are rallying the troops in this area. You are bringing believers here, and we thank you for that. God, we pray that you would continue to move through this body. I pray that you would spark this group of people, that when they have encounters, they will follow through to the end. God, that they will run the race all the way to the end. And I pray that you would just reveal to each and every heart here that all of us would be able to assess our life and make an honest evaluation. Am I obedient? Is my relationship with you healthy? Is my relationship with the believers around me, am I in community with other believers? And am I willing to be obedient for whatever it is that you might ask me to do before or after encounters? And so I just pray that we would be honest with ourselves and you would soften our hearts, God, that we could leave here stronger in you, and that through this week we can continue to think about these things and grow in you and bounce it off of each other, and we can take these encounters that you have planned for us and use them for what you've intended them to be, as moments that will eventually change the culture around us, God. Thank you so much for these people. I pray blessing on them. And I just pray that you continue to use them in this community, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.